If you haven't tackled your holiday shopping yet, no worries. Just go to Uncommon Goods. They have unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Some of my favorite things are steel outdoor citronella lanterns that you can personalize, and fishing pole-inspired marshmallow roasters. I'd use them for my wood-burning fireplace. Whatever your choices are, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. If you'd rather give an experience, you can find those too. They're more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways. Tarot card reading, cooking and mixology, gardening, and so much more. Plus, with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. To date, they've donated more than $3 million. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray. That's uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I kind of feel sorry for younger people when they get married because I know why we cry at weddings.
You're one listener who said something about her now fiancé really wants to get married. Is it about finances or is it about the blessing?
That's a prenup attorney and a certified financial planner talking about marriage. They both have longtime partners, by the way. And not that anyone's overly focused on the bottom line, but now that we're older, we might need to be wiser. When it comes to walking down the aisle, love isn't the only consideration. Maybe I do. That's this episode of Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi. When history and tradition suggests that marriage is the ultimate romantic commitment, it can be hard to take a different path.
My name is Stacy, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My boyfriend of about 4 years asked me to marry him. I love him, and I want to be committed. I have no problem being in the relationship with him for a long time, if not forever. But I was worried about finances for each of us in the future. It's taken me a long time to be where I'm at financially, and I'm very proud of it. And not that my boyfriend would do anything, but my ex-husband was very bad at finances and destroyed our credit. I know that my boyfriend isn't that, but I'm just really proud, and I don't see where it would change anything in our relationship. It's very strong. We're very much together. And I was just wondering if you had anything or any shows about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. She was game to share her story, but we had technical difficulties recording her, so I called to get more details. Stacy told me she was married for over 30 years. Her husband was the main earner, and he was very controlling. He kept a tight grip on their finances, even as he mismanaged their money. They wound up losing their home to bankruptcy. Stacy waited until their 3 kids were launched and then said enough. When she left her husband, there wasn't really anything to divide. She had a car and a car payment, and that was about it. Stacy was on shaky financial footing, but she felt unburdened because she was finally in charge of her own destiny. She landed a good-paying job and eventually started dating. Stacy really clicked with one man. He'd been divorced for a while. They became exclusive, and then he moved in. After a year of living in her place and sharing expenses, they found a bigger place to rent together. Stacy says they're completely transparent with each other about finances, so she knows they each have about the same amount of money, and they each earn about the same amount. They split the bills, and Stacy's the admin for their shared expenses. When Stacy's partner first brought up marriage, she kind of surprised herself by saying maybe instead of yes. Stacy's comfortable with the concept. It's familiar to her. She appreciates being asked, and apparently he keeps asking. Stacy says she never wants marriage off the table. You heard Stacy say, though, she doesn't think marriage will change anything. I think she's referring to their emotional connection and level of commitment. Because when it comes to our financial picture, marriage can change a lot of things. That's according to experts like Colette Kalanko. She's a certified financial planner and a certified divorce financial analyst.
There are a multitude of financial impacts of having that status of married may affect somebody's finances and a financial reason to get married.
It's not a yes or no question.
Absolutely not.
Unless we're really savvy, we might not be able to figure it out ourselves whether it makes sense.
Correct.
Financially makes sense.
Correct. Yeah. Sometimes you want to talk to these professionals just to gather the information so that you can make that informed decision. You can know if you get married in the eyes of the government, if that is going to cost you or if it's going to benefit you financially.
Maybe you remember Colette from the Money Talk episode in 2020. She described a legal document I'd never heard of before, a cohabitation agreement. Colette also mentioned that every year, she and her longtime fiancé crunch the numbers to figure out if it makes financial sense for them to go ahead and tie the knot. I asked Colette to share more of her professional insights for this episode. And as you'll hear, she also has a personal update.
Here's a scenario. You're 64, getting ready to retire. You have this huge pension. You meet the love of your life. Mm-hmm. And when it comes time to take this pension, you can say, oh, I can put my spouse on the pension and they can receive the benefit. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that go through that. So if you're not married, usually there's no option to have a non-spouse. Mm-hmm. So that might be one consideration. Taxes might be a reason.
Okay.
Right? You could either, maybe someone has a very small income and somebody has a really large income. And if you were able to put them together as married filing jointly, the combined taxes would go down significantly. Those are the issues that I, as a financial planner, would look at as financial reasons to get married. Let's, you know, some people say, I don't care what it costs. I love this person. I want to marry them. But from a financial aspect and a protection aspect, and like, what are the pros of getting married later in life? If somebody has a large IRA and their partner is more than 10 years younger than they are, the required distribution calculation is different. It's less.
The first thing is we should all get an estate plan.
Regardless.
If we never intend to get married, if we're not dating anybody, that seems like that's the baseline.
Right. Baseline. It's not really all that expensive. The way I look at an estate plan is you've got this bucket. And at the end of your life, you're going to say, I want a portion to go here. I want a portion to go there. The package that I think of also are your powers of attorney. Who can make medical decisions for you? That's a medical power of attorney. If something should happen to you, who can make financial decisions on your behalf? That's a financial power of attorney.
Let's say I, as a single person, go ahead and do this. I've got a house. You know, I want to leave the house to my kids. I want to make sure that my kids are my medical power of attorney. I want to make sure my kids are my financial power of attorney. Get it all in place. And then I meet the love of my life. If we were to get married, would we have to alter any of those documents, or those documents still stay in place?
That's a legal question. Honestly, right now, I know two different situations where someone is in the exact same place, had their financial powers of attorney and their medical powers of attorney, and then they got married. And because the doctors had on file that somebody else was responsible for making their medical decisions, they're not talking to the spouse. First of all, I would say, if you're considering getting married, you should evaluate for both of you, right? You should update your estate documents. My partner and I, he proposed in 2001, and of course I said yes. And then as we were starting to go down the planning process, I said, well, here, this is what we're going to pay in taxes. Here are my numbers. You go take it to your CPA and you can clarify that. And so he takes the numbers, goes, talks to his CPA. He comes back and he goes, honey, I love you too much to marry you also. So every year I have done our taxes and we have decided, okay, let's not get married this year. Now, full disclosure, and my friends and family know this, that we are discussing. He's coming up to a point in time where Medicare costs are coming in and his IRA, I'm more than 10 years younger than he is, so his required distribution would be less. You don't have to say no forever, or I'm not going to marry you forever because of financial reasons. I mean, things change. They always change. But we evaluate it. So by the time you hear this, it could be that I'm married or could not be. We've been engaged now for 23 years. I think it's fabulous that people can find each other after they have gone through trials and tribulations. And I think that in order to make sure that remains that fabulous relationship, you want to put as many protections, safeguards in place as you can. And these are just tools. When you see a financial planner and you get a plan, or you look at your investments and you have people helping you invest, you talk to an attorney. These are just tools. And they're the building blocks that just help to prop you up in hard times. And the good times, right? So that you can go forward and continue to build that relationship.
Okay, quick recap. Regardless of relationship status, bank account size, and how much stuff we have, we all need at least a basic estate plan. That means a will and medical and financial powers of attorney.
This is one of the best gifts that you can give your loved ones. Put all this in place so that when your time comes, your family, your beneficiaries, all your loved ones, they have a direction as to what to do.
Thanks, Colette. So maybe you're in a relationship and you go through the spreadsheets and marriage makes financial sense. Or maybe it doesn't, but you want to go ahead and do it anyway. Nothing wrong with that, as long as everyone's eyes are wide open. But before you take that next step, you may want to consider, well, you probably know what I'm going to say, the P word, prenup.
So the process can be really bad, but it shouldn't be. It should be good if you're going to have a prenup.
That's attorney and mediator Lori Israel. We'll hear more from her. Plus, another listener talks about the financial commitment she made with a romantic partner. That's all after the break. It's that time of year for gift giving and for goal setting. Know what fits both categories? Learning a new language with Rosetta Stone. It's the trusted language learning program for 30 years, available on desktop or as an app. And it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. They offer 25 languages with fast acquisition designed for long-term retention. Plus, the built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation. Rosetta Stone is also convenient. Learn anytime, anywhere, on your own schedule. And here's an amazing value. A lifetime membership offers access to all 25 language courses. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Dating While Gray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony. And there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray.
Hi, Laura. My name is Gigi. I'm loving your podcast. It's so comforting to hear each other's stories, and you're wonderful. Here's my story. I dated a guy long distance. He lived 3 hours away for 4 years. So we saw each other a lot. We then bought a house together and became legal domestic partners. I worked for a city agency and he owned his own business. He was paying high premiums for his insurance, medical. So I put him on my benefits because we were legal domestic partners. He was able to get my medical, hospital, prescription, optical. And marriage was never discussed. I don't think either of us wanted that again. Domestic partners was fine. We each had our own bank accounts and handled our finances separately. We had a joint account for shared bills like the mortgage, utilities, home purchases like furniture or a Costco run. We did this for 4 years, 8 years total in relationship math. And it worked beautifully. I thought he was the love of my life, but then I had the rug pulled from under me. He decided to end things. I had had a slip and fall, which resulted in surgeries. Many doctor's appointments he had to take time out of his life to drive me to. It also left me unable to do many of the activities we used to enjoy together, like swimming, boating. We played music together. I couldn't play the guitar anymore. Although it was never addressed, he just simply said, "We hit a wall." He wound up buying me out of the house. It was my idea. And maybe not the best one monetarily, because maybe I could have made a little more had we sold the house. Maybe not. I don't know. Emotionally, I felt like I could not survive another day there. I believe I couldn't. I think I made the best choice for me emotionally. So even though finances were never a problem with us and all the financial safety nets in place, the breakup was very, very difficult for me. I had uprooted myself to move. I was with my, what I thought was my happily ever after. I was totally rejected. And on top of that, the stress of a move was very painful. And yeah, I guess it was as painful as a divorce. Although no little children was involved, it was very painful. Well, I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you, Laura, for all you do.
Thanks, Gigi, for sharing your story. So obviously, being clear about money doesn't guarantee a happily ever after. But according to Lori Israel, for older couples contemplating marriage, a prenup can help us on that path. Lori's an attorney and a mediator based in Massachusetts. She began her career as a tax lawyer, but for the past several years has focused on prenups and postnups. She's become nationally recognized in the field. Lori emphasizes the process of creating a prenup so it doesn't cause emotional damage to a relationship. And she says younger couples and first marriages may not even need one. Lori's written a book called The Generous Prenup, How to Support Your Marriage and Avoid the Pitfalls.
I'm really glad you read the book.
Well, I have to tell you, I left finishing that book thinking not why anybody would get a prenup, but why anybody would get married. Why would No, seriously.
I thought it was a very pro-marriage book.
Well, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you think about it, marriage, I think a lot of us, even as we're older, we think of marriage as love. I left the book thinking, okay, marriage is a legal contract with someone else. And to undo that legal contract, whether through divorce or through death, oh my gosh, I don't think people realize.
That's what a prenup does. It makes an orderly dissolution at divorce or death. It actually helps. You know, as I say, I'm not a pro-prenup person, but I think the second marriages, it can be extremely useful.
As a legal spouse, do they have a certain status that supersedes the grown kid's status in your life?
If you die without a will, in most states, what happens is that, and you have children from a previous marriage, in most states, your assets would go half to your new wife and half to your kids. But most people have wills, and the wills do overcome the prenup, unless the prenup has a requirement for estate planning or some sort of floor for estate planning. I recommend that. I think it's really important because somebody could kind of get demented at the end and think that their wife or husband is having an affair and take them out of their will. And so my prenups also have a minimum requirement or no requirement if the people don't need one, but some sort of minimal requirement. And that minimal requirement does hold because the prenup is basically a contractual debt.
So I know we should enter into prenups with the best of intentions. Like, I love you so much. I want to make sure, you know, you're protected in case I die. But with older people, are you still putting in things about in case they get divorced?
Oh, yeah. There's a divorce provision, too. Absolutely. There's sometimes a provision that talks about how they're going to handle money during their marriage, which sometimes is important. There's a divorce provision because sometimes people get divorced. And there's a death provision.
Let's say you're a committed couple. And you verbally agree, okay, I'm going to keep my income and assets separate. You keep your income and assets separate. Should you decide to get married, would you still need a prenup?
I think you do. I think you do need a prenup when you get married. And one of the reasons is for divorce, because you can have any sort of verbal agreement, but nothing holds for divorce. I think working through the process in terms of what you're going to do when one of you dies, and having that written, I think that's really important. There's all sorts of financial decisions which you can make without a prenup. But, you know, the other part of it is that when people get married late in life, and you're 63, I wouldn't call you late in life, you're middle-aged.
Thank you. I agree.
You know, there's kind of a delicate issue about how the children will feel about your marriage. Especially if you're a guy and you marry somebody younger.
Yeah.
And then that raises some issues, because if you're going to protect your younger spouse, then that delays what could possibly have given to your children earlier. And children, you know, thinking about how children feel about it and how to present the prenup to children, not that you'd show it to them. But, you know, sometimes you'd want to tell your children that I've thought about you.
Could you put in your prenup something along the lines of, I want my children to have a say in your medical power of attorney?
Yeah.
As opposed to your spouse. Is something like that going to fly?
There's going to be a separate document that's going to be the healthcare proxy, the healthcare agency. That's a separate thing. But if you're sure you want your children to be your healthcare proxy and to have other powers, then it would be good to have that in as a disclosure in the prenup say something like, each of us can name each other or our children or any other person as our healthcare proxy, power of attorney, whatever.
Okay, so a prenup is more like one tool in the estate planning arsenal that older couples should do.
Yeah, you'd have to do an estate plan. A prenup is not an estate plan. It's a contractual agreement that creates a debt obligation. In my view, in my wisdom of my 77 years, I think that living together without marriage only goes so far. And there's also some good financial reasons. I mean, this is maybe a piddling financial reason, but if you're married and your spouse dies and he or she has higher Social Security than you, you can step into his or her shoes and get their Social Security, not yours plus theirs. But that's really significant for a lot of, especially women spouses. You know, part of the problems with prenup is the process tends to be so bad. I found a really good way to do it, and that is I do them by mediation. And I actually, because I'm a mediator, I do it all over the country. And what I do is I work with the couple. We get all the financial documents securely that we can all see. We discuss them. We talk about their aims. We talk about their issues, their financial issues. It's a little bit like financial psychotherapy, although I'm not a psychotherapist. We end up with a term sheet that they both feel good about. And then I usually try to locate lawyers in their state, which are usually collaborative divorce lawyers because they understand marriages. And, you know, the problem with attorneys and prenups is they want to protect somebody's assets, but they're very unprotective of the health of the marriage, which requires, you know, looking at both parties and trying to figure out what is fair and secure on both sides.
It almost sounds like you're a prenup doula.
That's a good, maybe my next book.
Thanks, Lori. And I feel like I have to apologize for sounding so anti-marriage. I think I was feeling that way because a prenup for older couples does seem like a no-brainer. And crafting a prenup, even under the best of processes, requires potentially uncomfortable conversations. You know, what if and if then, blah, blah, blah. But it's dawned on me that I'm not anti-coupling up. And when I meet the next love of my life, in order to put our best feet forward together, those what if and if then conversations are really important, no matter which avenue we choose for expressing a romantic commitment. Dating While Grace audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by Dee Peterschmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find the Dating While Gray archive of episodes. You can also find links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. While you're there, sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter delivered every Friday to your inbox. That's datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.